Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nortman.
It is hour two of Kyle Brustin Nortman here on ESPN Wisconsin as we are celebrating our boy Bradley Nortman being back in the flesh with his brand new smooth and silky voice.
Feels so good to be back.
Feels
so
great good. To be back, and feels great to have you back.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit nervous before, but it was about 158. I said, oh boy, I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Are you getting a little exhausted now? You ride like a kid
good.
On a bike?
Yeah, it feels good now. I've caught my balance. I'm going down dead man's curve.
Feel all right good. Now.
Dead Man's Curve.
Dead Man's Curve.
What movie or TV show is that from?
I don't know.
You just know about it.
Yeah, it's just a common phrase, maybe.
Okay. Sounds like a bad phrase.
No, that's a
bad
phrase.
It's a little bit dark.
Yeah,
it's a little bit dark.
You know, biking is actually very dangerous.
It is
very
dangerous.
You know, you're a kid, when you're going down like the dusty mountains and all that, or whatever roads or hills or whatever the heck it is, you don't realize how much danger you're putting yourself in. Now, the older you get, like, ooh, it's a little steep.
You know,
fast.
I even think about that while I'm driving. People that just choose to bike on the street.
You're
right there with cars that weigh literal tons, and you're just a dude on a bike. It's pretty courageous, but too many accidents, unfortunately.
Yeah, too many accidents indeed as well. Ben Bruss on his vacation for his honeymoon.
Living it up, man.
I'm sure he's
living it up.
I didn't like the fact that he texted us.
Yeah. Why is he texting on?
Ah,
you shouldn't
sure.
do that. And he's in, not to give his business up, but he's in different time zones.
Yeah,
he should be focused on doing things you do on a honeymoon.
He should. Oh, yeah.
And sightseeing.
He should.
Sightseeing.
I love seeing sights.
Yeah.
Don't you, Stroh?
Love seeing sights.
Love seeing the sights.
How was his brain last week? Was he scrambled eggs?
No,
he was uptight.
Yeah, he's uptight.
He texted saying, sorry, I was a groomzilla, guys.
He did say that.
Oh, wow.
More than
groomzilla.
Yeah, more than once. Yeah, it was strange.
Okay, we'll get to that.
He was fine.
Jason.
Yeah, I mean, overall, he was just, you know, a lot of it, but he let it all go on Friday.
Mm.
Which is exactly
he was great on Friday.
Exactly what I wanted.
He was.
He gave me a hug.
I mean.
Did he say I love you?
No.
I don't remember. No. Probably not. I probably said it, though.
The action says everything you need to know.
There you go, Brad.
The actions do speak louder than words. And that, speaking of actions, thinking of the Green Bay Packers and their actions during this preseason. Now, Brad, again, coming from your NFL perspective, how much concern should Packers fan have for the continuity of this Packers offense since so many guys are hurt, so many guys are all out? When we did see them in preseason one, they didn't look good at all. Should fans have concerns about the continuity of this offense going into week one against the Detroit Lions in less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've had a lot to reflect on the last couple weeks, thinking about this team and how they performed in the preseason and where they're at now, because they are less than 2 weeks away from real football against a real good opponent. And as I'm thinking about it, reflecting on my time in training camp and as I would enter week one with my teammates, I'm a little concerned about this Packer team. Now, I'm not concerned for them for the season in general, as we've already went to Potawatomi, placed our over 9.5 wins and a couple other player prop bets. So I think they're going to have a good season. But you combine the lack of answers we have from earlier in the show when we talked about that I've got more questions than answers than I did before training camp started. You pair that with Jordan Love's injuries. You got wide receivers out. I mean, you just got situations where over the course of the last month, you haven't got the reps that you wanted to. And everything that was a concern when Jordan Love was playing last year with the groin, what would Matt LaFleur always talk? We talk about limited in practice.
I hate that word,
and
limited.
That limited nature in practice, we could see that in the game, right? Jordan Love, not 100% decisive, not timing-wise with the rest of the wide receivers. Mm. There's a lot of things that came out on game day that you saw a limited amount of practice. Well, they've been limited all training camp. So you're dealing with a situation now where timing is thrown off between quarterback and wide receiver, even things with the offensive line. I mean, it's a new center in Elgton Jenkins there with Jordan
That's
Love.
Very
so
true.
So there's going to be more things with audibles from Jordan Love, snap count issues. There are so many things, even at a granular level, of the hard count. Jordan Love's very good at the hard count, sort of learned that from Aaron Rodgers. But you just look at even small things like that, let alone the timing of an out route that takes place 15 yards down the field. Those things, that they can't be manufactured. The only way you do that is repetition, repetition, repetition. And that way you can do it on Sunday. You can play free. You can play fast. And that's the only way you're going to beat a team like the Detroit Lions. So as I look at this, I'm just concerned that the Packers lost out on critical growth areas in training camp. Now, Jordan Love got hurt. There's nothing you can do about it. Guys get hurt. Receivers got hurt. That's just part of the game. So it's no one's fault, really. But you're going to look at it and say it's going to be a bit of a minor miracle if they can come out against the Detroit Lions and minor they look smooth miracle, and crisp. Huh? A minor miracle.
That
they
is look, not a I, lot I of confidence. I you're not instilling a lot of confidence in KB and Nation.
I don't Nation. Expect them to. You expect them that offense to look crisp week one? I don't. I think Josh Jacobs is going to be strong, but I think it's going to be Jordan Love's going to struggle to hit the timing. To hit the timing routes with the wide receivers, not in everything, but critical throws on critical downs. I think it's going to be hard to manufacture.
I'm not liking this whatsoever at all. Hearing Bradley Nortman say he has zero confidence in the Packers offense to be humming or to have any continuity come week one.
They'll get there. It just won't happen week one.
I'm not a big fan of that. But somebody, hopefully not. I'm a big fan of the Green Bay Packers. Also, I'm a big fan of American Family Insurance. As you already know, American Family Insurance loves to support the Title Town, and the perfect Packers game starts in Title Town at the American Family Insurance house. Before each home game, grab exclusive Packer giveaways, listen to live music, and hang out with other fans. Plus, you can try your hand at setting the high score in the Protect the End Zone game they have, or an interactive game that puts your football skills to the test. So make sure your next trip up to Lambeau is unforgettable by visiting the American Family Insurance House. And only at American Family Insurance House in Titletown, you can have all these great experiences. And if you're looking for an insurance quote, simply go to amfam.com today to get an insurance quote on the spot or find an insurance agent near you. That is amfam.com today. Coming up next, we have Jason Wilde. He'll break down how he feels about the Packers preseason and what we all need to know about the cutdown coming tomorrow for the Green Bay Packers. This is Kyle Brustin Norman right here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. On ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Kyle Brustin Norman, KBN.
I'm a seam head now. You can call me whatever you want.
Oh,
seam head.
I don't even know what
that is. You
that means I'm a baseball dork. All I do is sit and watch MLB big
a
inning
seam
at night.
Head.
I've never heard that before.
This is because you're not a seam head.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
A little group think going on there. I'm not going to disagree.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
He is a good general manager. Anybody who disputes that, they have other issues.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not sure that was good enough for us to even play on our show.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Brustin Nortman.
It is Kyle Brustin Nortman here on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. And you know what it is. When you hear that music, you know it's time for the one and the only Jason Wilde here on Kyle Brustin Nortman. Jason Wilde, welcome in. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm great. Doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. We're fresh off of the Ben Bruss wedding. Did you have any FOMO?
No, none. Zero.
I love that.
None.
I love that. Wait a minute.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Now, you know our old friend, but our great friend, Bradley Nortman, is back. Are you curious to know what Bradley Nortman sounds like, Jason Wilde?
Well, I assume he sounds like this.
Well, Bradley?
Jason, the insult that I'm going to walk into with that kind of voice. I sound silky smooth, don't I? And back to my old self. Now, the question is, Now, these guys have already cast their vote. In fact, Kyle Wallace has been very outspoken.
Bring back old Brad.
He likes raspy Brad more than silky smooth Brad. Which voice do you like better, Jason? The old Brad or the new and improved Brad?
Well, here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't want to violate any HIPAA laws here. But when, let's be honest, I made you right? I
mean, oh, wow.
Having you as a cousin stuff.
Wow. Didn't Homer tell Dwayne Wade that one time?
He didn't hurt my career, Jason. I'll at least say that.
He did. And unlike Homer, who probably was somewhat serious, I was being facetious. My point is that you sound like the guy again that got his start as a cousin sub of the day in terms of daily radio on Wilde and Tausch. And I know you were dealing with that, and I'm glad you're coming out on the other side sounding great. I can't be nice about it though. Like, I had to give you some grief first, but yeah, and the most amazing thing is that I assume now Lex, because she was, you know, getting tired of you not being able to speak, now is like, maybe we need to rest those vocal cords just in case, and trying to reduce your chatterboxness.
You know,
true or no?
Doctor said, feel free to really ramp it up the week before you get back to work so you're ready for it. And Jason, I've been ramping it up. Jason, I'm chatting away.
Jason, do you know how he got her attention while he couldn't talk?
Did he ring a bell?
Ready, Jason?
He used to clap. He was clapping at her.
Yeah, clap.
He was clapping at her, Jason.
Wow. Again, hey. And your wife is an amazing woman. I don't doubt that for a second. I met her at the Tundra Trio for one of our Green Bay game day pregames, I think a couple years ago now.
Oh yeah.
She's incredible. You guys have a great meet cute story. You're great human beings, great parents, all those things. But even so, I don't think I'd want to be clapped at. So I can see how that might've gotten on her nerves.
You know, the other thing is, maybe you didn't know this, but when you pick up generally heavy weight, your vocal cords compress together. So I couldn't lift up anything more than 10 pounds for a week.
Oh.
And if you know our story, we've got a couple foster boys.
Are they over 10 pounds?
Oh, yeah, well
over.
Oh,
yeah, hell yeah.
And all the things around the house, so I'd be like, Lexi, or I wouldn't say Lexi, but, you know,
ooh,
point down. They think she got to get picked up. I can't do it.
Dang,
and meanwhile, she's
be?
36 weeks pregnant. It was an interesting couple weeks for Lexi. Particularly those 5 days.
So what? I'm confused as to how your vocal cords, is it from, because you're like straining when you pick up, something heavy?
Yeah, I mean, things all around your body tense up when you lift up something heavy, vocal cords being one of them, apparently.
Wow. I learned something new every day, and I'm just glad you're back, and I'm glad you're healthy and happy.
Thanks, Jason. It's good to be back.
It is great to have Bradley Nortman back as we are joined by Jason Wilde from Wilde and Tausch. You can hear Wilde and Tausch right here on ESPN Wisconsin, 9 a.m. to noon, weekdays, every single weekday. Now, Jason, transitioning over to the Green Bay Packers, they just concluded their preseason. Now, did the Packers come away with more questions or answers post-preseason?
No, I think they definitely came away with more answers, and I'm not sure that they went in with a ton of questions. I mean, look, I will be surprised if Rashid Walker's not the left tackle. You know, they came out with a question about their offensive line depth, and they went and got Dolly Parton's distant cousin in a trade with the Philadelphia Eagles, Darian Kennard. So they tried to shore that up. I would say this, they clearly like him or were somewhat desperate in realizing how their depth was, because even though it's not until 2027 for them to give up a sixth round pick, that's a pretty penny right there. So you know, they obviously recognize that to be a need. You know, the biggest question that they left with is just, is everybody going to be healthy when the season starts? And if they are, then they don't, you know, I don't think they've got a lot of question marks. I think they feel really good about their defense. There's certainly a question about Nate Hobbs and whether he'll be fully ready for the opener, but McKinney's going to be ready. On offense, they have to make sure that their offensive line, their starting five, is figured out, and they obviously need their wide receivers to get healthy. But, you know, after both Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed gave me a hard time about worrying too much, I'm going to take them at their word and believe that they're going to be ready offensively come September 7th. Now, there'll be questions if they get run out of their own gym by the Detroit Lions on September 7th, and then have to turn around and 4 days later play the Washington Commanders.
What's your confidence level of that, though, Jason? When the Packers, like right now, obviously they still have a whole 2 weeks worth of practice left. We're going to find out a lot in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But post preseason, what's your confidence level that the Green Bay Packers are going to be able to go out there against Detroit and compete against the best team in the NFC and the, one of the best teams in the NFL last year?
Yeah, I think I'm confident they can compete. I'm not confident that they'll win. But again, I haven't seen the Lions practice. Maybe there's, you know, my buddy Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. Maybe he's doing their version of KBN on one of their local stations in Detroit, saying the same type of stuff about the Lions that I think they can compete, but I'm not entirely sure if they can win that game. Like, yeah, that's the point of going to practice every day, and you know, I think I have a pretty good beat on where the Packers are, but the Lions could be much better. They could be, you know, really struggling with the transition from their two previous coordinators who both became head coaches to now, you know, having two new coordinators. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting. Those 5 days, I just find it crazy that the Packers are going to have two of their biggest games of the year right out of the gate. I mean, there are other big games on the schedule, no doubt about it, but those two are really big and really crucial, and they're in a 5-day span in September, and they're both at home. And they've only got 8 total home games this regular season. So I think the last thing they can afford to do, and this is a loser's mentality, and I'm sure they're not thinking this way, but there's part of me that is thinking, hey, you guys lose both those at home. You're in an 0-2 hole with only 6 out of your final 15 games being at home.
You put it that way,
that's a big hole
tough
to dig out of. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they'll lose both, but I think we have to at least acknowledge the possibility of it.
Yeah, Jason, and you know, considering this training camp where you had guys injured like Jordan Love, and you know, you lack a little bit of continuity that you could normally work on, and you know, just working your way through the, you know, preseason, when the schedule came out, I thought it was an advantage to the Packers that they're going to have the Lions, Commanders right away. I thought this team was going to hit the ground running, and I think it was going to be a situation where you could go 2-0 or even to 1-1. But now after this training camp, I'm not so sure, because I don't think they're going to hit the ground running given how many speed bumps it feels like they've had. Do you think that those two games, they're so marquee against NFC other contenders, do you think it's a benefit for this team knowing what you know about them right now, or it's a detriment that they have to start the season like that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's obviously whatever. If they win both games, it'll be an incredible advantage, right? It gets you off to a incredible start. I'm going to turn this back on you, especially since, you know, your doctor wants you ramping up your talking points. I'm going to turn this back around on you and ask, what made you think initially that it would be an advantage? Because I got to be honest, they did lose their last 3 games to close last season. And I kind of felt like, you know, maybe it wouldn't be ideal from the very jump when the schedule came out, that it wouldn't be ideal for them to start that way, that I think that's a really tough way to start the season.
Yeah, my thought was you get the Lions right away. And when it comes to being able to have belief from the Lions standpoint of who are we, what's our team, implementing new offensive and defensive schemes, I think the Lions are going to be in a situation where, yes, they've got really good personnel for sure. I think there's a little bit of lingering question marks of who are we? Are we still going to be who we were without our coordinators? And I think there's going to be some kinks trying to implement and have these guys be the new DC and OC in a real tough game. So I thought the Packers could surprise and shock the Lions as they're still trying to work the kinks out with their new team. And then a short week at home against the Commanders, same thing. I love a short week at home. I hate a short week having to go somewhere. So I thought the Packers would be in position to really surprise Detroit as they're working through it. And then the Washington Commanders, I mean, there's a lot of new faces there. I'm not sure that, you know, Debo and some of these other guys that they've gotten in the system are going to be ready to roll for sure week 2. So I thought you'd for sure go 1-1, but after this training camp, man, Jordan Love hasn't played that much. And from what we have seen on the field, it's been kind of underwhelming when it comes to the starters. So now after all that, I don't feel like this team is completely ready to take on the cream of the crop of the NFC. I would rather switch at this point week 3 and 4 with 1 and 2. I'd rather have a warm-up with Cleveland and Dallas and then get ready to play Detroit and Washington than the other way around.
That's a pretty good argument for both for what you were thinking before and what you're thinking now.
Thank you.
And you sounded great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I still miss raspy voice, Brad. Anything else before we let you go, Jason?
No, my dog came out to greet me, and now I can't find her. So,
well,
no, I'm gonna find
Stella
the Wonder
Dog. Wait,
do you not have an electric fence?
We do, but she usually comes back, and now she hasn't. So
you've been searching for a lost dog while talking to us?
No, I finished. She came out of the house to come after I parked the car, and then after she gave me kisses and interrupted Brad talking. She ran out of the garage, and now I can't locate her. And I'm talking to you guys, and I'm walking around our massive estate here. Mm. Oh, there she goes.
Oh, she's in a house.
Okay. No, she's in the yard. Oh, yeah. So I'm doing laps, and now my neighbor dog has come over to see me. Hi, Raku. How are you, buddy?
All right, Jason, thank you. Jason.
And Bella has told him to leave.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, Raku. All right, Jason.
All right, we've solved everything. Thanks, guys. Take care. Be good.
That is Jason.
Kyle, just, you know, kisses are ways mammals display affection.
I don't want affection from a mammal. You know, mammals also lick themselves to clean.
You realize
themselves.
Your baby girl is a mammal, correct?
Okay, I only want her.
Are you kissing. I called her a house cat. Now you're calling her a dog?
Yeah,
I called her a mammal.
This is crazy.
Which is an accurate statement.
I guess, but I mean,
you call her a house cat is inaccurate. I called her a mammal. Figurative. That's a fact.
Rest assured, she doesn't clean herself like a dog does. I can tell you that.
Well, is
that
calling someone a mammal feels derogatory?
Well, no,
you're a mammal.
It wasn't derogatory. He said kisses.
Okay, you compare,
like, you didn't know what that was.
You compare my lovely fiance to a dog.
Would you rather be compared to a dog or a house cat?
I'd rather her not be compared to any of them. How about that?
Well, it's too late because it's happened with both.
Yeah, it's pretty disrespectful. I'm going to start comparing y'all women to things, too.
So when dogs kiss, typically they lick. They'll lick your hand or they'll lick your leg.
Some lick your lips.
That is true, not mine, but yes.
Yeah, Jason.
That's a Ben move, to stick his face in a dog's face and prompt.
That is a
tongue
Ben
kisses.
Move, you're right. Yeah.
It is a Ben move indeed. But speaking of Ben moving, he was doing a lot of that on Friday night. And now it is time for us to give our instant reaction and breakdown of everything you need to know about the Ben Bruss wedding. And let me tell you, it was a 10 out of 10. And one person here thinks he's the MVP of the wedding. Not Ben being the MVP, not his fiance, but this guy thinks he's the MVP of the wedding. We'll let you know coming up next. You are listening to Kyle Bruston-Nortman right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN.
Yeah, let them do it. I ain't doing it.
You're not going to hurt our
no,
feelings.
Come on.
Just mine.
Homer, come on.
Yo, fuck, I should be doing this time. I should be 2-6. That good enough for you?
Yeah.
Nobody's as good as me.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome back in to Kyle Bruston-Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Kyle Wallace. He's Brad Nortman with that smooth, silky voice.
Silky smooth, baby.
There he is.
Yeah.
Alex Strofe holding it down on the ones and the twos, as always. What up, Alex?
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Why is it called the ones and the twos?
Because it's the board. Ficky, ones and the twos.
Ones and the twos.
And speaking of ones and the twos, there's a lot of ones and twos stepping in, a lot of things going on at the wedding of Ben Bruss. Now, for me, this was a 10 out of 10 wedding. I had a great time. It was very fun. Band, live music. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And there's a lot of stories to tell from it, whether it's the speech of the best man, which was supposed to be 5 minutes, and he went double that plus 2 minutes by going 12 minutes, and he eviscerated. And I say eviscerated. He eviscerated.
It was the roast of Ben Bruss.
Oh, it was. It was a top 10 out of 10. Now, guess what? The fiance, now wife, wasn't too pleased with it.
Is that true?
That is true. So yesterday on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin, Craig texts his wife and said, hey, which was worse? Was it the speech, the 12-minute speech that eviscerated Ben Bruss and exposed him to her family? Or was it Craig Karmazin and Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike 5-9 on ESPN Madison 5-7 right here on ESPN Milwaukee? Was it them coming in 20 minutes late to the wedding? The wedding started at 4, and they showed up at 4:20.
That was crazy.
That was uncomfortable. And they sat right behind me.
And the whoa. So they went all the way across? Yeah. The parting of the Red Sea at this church.
It was a strange setup.
It was oddly constructed.
I got there at 3:56, and I text you fellas on the way. I said, man, listen, I ran into traffic. I had to do the Milwaukee slide where I got into the right lane and zoomed past everybody. I got in the turning lane to beat the traffic.
You did.
I had to. I was out in the country. I was nervous.
You texted us that you might be walking in with the bride.
Yeah, I was very nervous because I ran into some traffic and construction, and so I ended up getting there in time, but I got there at 3:56, and I walk in, and typically when you walk into a church, you walk down the aisle, and you can look left and look right, and you can see the altar, but there's a lot of steps to it. This church is literally the aisle, the altar is right there. There is no aisle. There's the altar, and you either go left or you go right, and I'm trying to figure out which side is which, and so I just was like, it's 3:58 now, and I go left, and I see Maggie, who works with us. She points that way, and so I turn around, I go this way, and I find Bradley Nortman in the back.
Well,
it was so much pressure.
What's crazy, too, is you're describing going left or right, but most of the time, the pews are all looking forward.
Yeah.
This was split down the middle, and the pews were looking at one another.
Yeah, so they're looking toward at the middle. You.
So Strofe made a declaration about his friendship with Ben Brust, and he went to the wife's side. The only way I could take it is it was a personal shot at Ben Brust to go to.
It was a personal shot. The ushers just didn't do their job.
Oh,
yeah,
the ushers were awful.
When I walked in 10 minutes ahead of time, they were having their own chat. And I grabbed my own program.
Us too.
And I said, groom on the right? And they like turned and looked at me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they went back to their conversation.
I don't think they knew their role because I was about to turn back around and ask them because they didn't say anything.
Yeah, they didn't say anything to me. And I knew people on the left side, which happened to be the bride's side. It was husbands of people we work with who had roles within the wedding.
Oh.
But I knew who they were, so I was like, oh, we'll go sit by them. And then when there was right before you walked in, Kyle, they said to me, hey, just so you know, you're on the bride's side. I said, oh. And then I saw Brad walk in, and he went to the groom's side. And I texted Brad, and I said, I think I messed up, but I can't move.
Why didn't you move? You had time.
Not really, though. It was uncomfortable, and
it was very uncomfortable walking. I mean, it was a tough walking. I was nervous, and you know, I was the only brother there, and so I guess me and TC. But I was like, oh crap, I'm coming in late. I don't want to ruffle feathers. I already standing on the sore thumbs. I'm just like, I don't know where to go. But there was also a lot of other things, the dancing and the party, and of course, the wedding of Ben Bruss, which should be about Ben Bruss and his lovely wife now. But Alex Strofe said a comment to people over the weekends. He's going around telling people something. You know what he's telling everybody?
What's he saying?
I was the MVP, man. I was the MVP of that wedding. I'm telling you, I was getting down, boogieing out. I was the wedding.
So there's only two people that can crown an MVP. That's the bride or the groom. So did either the bride or the groom anoint you as MVP?
No, I believe the only comment made to me by the groom at the end of the wedding was, Strofe, you're drunk, go home.
That was probably factual.
That's a sign of a good night, though.
I texted him, I think, in a group chat with you guys yesterday. I had a terrific time on Friday.
Though. Yeah.
It was a really fun wedding.
Can I say, I'm going to be honest with you.
Uh-oh.
No. I'm just being honest. I had a good time. I danced. I had a good time. Me and baby girl, you know, dropping down low, get low, get low. Baby girl, get down low. That's why I love her, baby. We was getting a stroke and a test to it. We was having a good time because that's what I do. I was expecting more from Strofe.
Really?
Because
wow.
What Strofe did.
From the MVP?
Yeah, the MVP. I was expecting him to get after it, but he was just, you know, he danced. But he was just, you know, the typical white guy dance.
I don't know how
right
to dance.
Right hand, left hand in air. It's just, all it was move the hips right to left. You go on ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube or ESPN Madison on YouTube. You'll see me. You just move right to left, and that's all he was doing. He was having a good time, but, like, that's all he was doing.
Oh,
his
my
shirt
feet
wasn't
were
undone.
My feet were moving.
Okay, maybe you lifted up the knees a little bit.
Yeah, now you're looking more like
I mean, but it wasn't like he was, woo! The attention was not on Strofe.
But wait, what do you expect? Because I'll admit, I left at 10:15. I was there for an hour of dancing, but then I left and went home.
So I was shocked you stayed that long. And yeah. Brad didn't dance not once.
I was on the peripheral. I was on the fringe for a song.
Was it because Lexi wasn't there?
But Lexi's out there. I'm not going to dance solo.
Okay.
I'm not going to dance solo.
Fair enough.
Lexi's too pregnant to go. That's why she didn't go. But I did see Strophe dance a little bit, and I thought it was what I would expect out of a stringy white guy.
But
you expected his personality to make him be some sort of outlandish
dancer.
He
didn't talk to people in the whole. We're gonna tell you about what happened with Bo Ryan, but he didn't. He wasn't a social butterfly like usual. He wasn't going up to Frank the Tank and like, "Hey Frank, how you doing?"
I did talk to him.
Oh, when did you talk to Frank at the end?
I peed next to him in the bathroom.
Oh wow, he can see everything. Say? He's tall.
He is huge. Wow,
yeah, he is tall.
He might be able to see over the dividers.
He is a giant man. One of the singers in the band made a comment at one point about Frank about how she saw all the tall people and she thought that somebody was on somebody else's shoulders.
Yeah.
And I bet that's the best explanation of Frank Kaminsky ever.
Well, Jared Bergen was there too, and he's like 6'10" and a half.
We looked back from where the bar was to the dance floor. And it was literally like a sea of heads and then like just two stilts coming out of it.
I'm typically the taller person at weddings. Like the wedding I was at on Saturday, I was the tallest person there.
Yeah, this was unusual.
I don't think I was in the top 10.
No, there was, and Frank's dad is huge too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of tall gentlemen.
I thought I properly danced. I don't really know how to dance, so I guess that's probably part of the
issue. Just expecting you to be the life of the party. Like Ben was the life of the party. He lived up to that.
He did great.
He did.
800-990-3776. That is the Carbless Talking text line where Liz is more. And we're reminiscing on the best moments from Ben's wedding. Make sure you watch and stream us live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and ESPN Madison on YouTube. Strophe thought he was the MVP.
My pit stains.
I'm sure they're all bad. He thought he was the MVP of Ben Bruss' wedding. We got more tells from the wedding coming up next. Keep it locked. You're listening to Kyle Bruston Norman right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
He is now off his rocker saying it. Well, if I played...
Choke artist. That's what you both are. Yeah, I said it. You both are choke artists.
Losers, choke artists.
That's what you are. You
frauds,
choked against TCU. You choked against Oregon. You choked against Kentucky. Y'all choked against Duke. I can keep going.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Life's better when you're under one roof, and you can do it all with American Family Insurance. Feeling protected can help fuel your confidence. Yes, fuel your confidence to dream fearlessly. And with American Family Insurance, you can bundle homeowners policy with the car policy as well, and it is so easy. All you have to do is go to amfam.com. Here, I'm going to type it in right now, amfam.com. Voila, look to your right, you see get a quote. All you got to do is quick click get a quote, and you can get a quote just like that, or you can find an agent near you. Visit amfam.com today. That is amfam.com today. It is Kyle Bruston Norman here on the award-winning ESPN Milwaukee, in the award-winning ESPN Madison, in the award-winning ESPN Beaver Dam. I like that there, Strophe. We are award-winning. We're great here.
We won some awards.
We sure did. We won the best radio show in Wisconsin here on Kyle Bruston Norman on ESPN Wisconsin. But we're talking about the great wedding of our boy Benjamin Bruss in 800-990-3776. What are you talking about? We're award-winning here. 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talking text line where Liz is more. Joe and Madison. You got questions about people dropping to their boxers.
That's right. I was just wondering how the boxer dance went. Did it stay PG or did it get more escape?
Well, so they were very excited for the song to come on, for Piano Man to come on, and there were children there. And I would say it was a little bit risque. I felt like I needed to cover my eyes. Because I'm telling you, I've never seen so many men drop their pants at one time. And when I say Alex Strophe was so excited to drop his pants
and go grab
Strophe, you were smiling ear to ear. You didn't even know the guys you were just rocking back and forth with.
Strophe, here's the question. Did you get dressed for that wedding and put thought into your underwear for that moment?
It's a terrific question because the answer is yes.
Oh, of course.
The answer is yes. I had to wear, I didn't want there to be a bump, if you know what I'm saying. So I wore looser underwear.
It's crazy. This tradition is crazy. I talked to my mom about this, and she said,
"You're the first person to ask me that question." The answer is yes.
She told me, "Kyle, you better not have took your pants off and did that in all them, in front of all them people."
So, said, for those of you that aren't aware, what we're referring
why is this a thing?
So, it's a Wisconsin basketball tradition where the bride and groom dance in the middle, and Ben wore underwear. His pants were down. He was dancing with his bride, and then everybody circled up with their pants down.
Is it only guys around the circle?
I think it was only guys. I guess I.
Yes, it was only men. It was only men around the circle.
What a strange
tradition. And inside was his fiance, and at the end, they all mobbed his fiance, which.
I did not participate, though.
Yes, he did. Stroke participated in everything. Everything. He felt like he was one of the guys.
MVP activity.
I guess so. If you got MVP for that, then well deserved, my friend. But this is Kyle Bruston Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin. Coming up next on ESPN Madison is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Coming up next on ESPN Beaver Dam is, to me, the best damn sports show. But when we come back, we got to continue the conversation, not only talking about weddings, but Brad's voice is back. I'm going to read some of your texts at the Carbless Talk and Text Line, and we'll continue talking about the Green Bay Packers and their poor preseason performance. But Piano Man, take them out.